Father in heaven, you speak to us. You speak to us through your word. Even today, you continue to give us rhema, understanding, and insight. And I pray right now that you would come upon us and communicate to us your word, that you would speak a rhema to our hearts today, that you would help us to begin to understand what you're trying to say to us. Give us ears to hear you. I pray that you would give me lips to speak your words. I pray these would not be the words of Jared, but the words of Jesus. I pray that you would give me your anointing and your help to speak the words I must say. I pray that you would give us all your anointing to hear your voice speak to us today. Dear God, we pray against the spiritual forces of this world that would like to snatch away this truth, to steal it from us. We pray against them in Jesus' name, and we bind them in the name of Christ. We pray for your blood, your protection, to rest upon us in this building and this entire property, that it would be a free and safe zone from any of their power. We pray that only the Spirit of God would be heard in this place, and we pray that you would be pleased with our worship. As we worship you in the Word now, we dedicate this time to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 29, verse 18, you don't need to turn there, but it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word perish in Hebrew means to become unrestrained, to be exposed, to be unheld back. There's no restraint. I think that is a very, very true statement. Without a vision, without a purpose, without a seeing something down the road that I'm pursuing, who cares what happens? That's why so much of our society is apathetic. It's, who cares about life? I don't care about your life. I'll kill you for nothing. Wife killing a husband for argument over the remote control. That's literally what happened. A story, a woman killed her husband because she was angry at him, and their argument was about the remote control. People that don't care about any kind of structure or guidance or anything, because in large part because they have no purpose. We tell them that they're just an accident, that they arrive because of evolution, time and chance put together, and you get human beings. There's no meaning behind their life. They have no purpose, and so therefore, they have no restraint. Why does anything matter? Nothing matters to them. And this is true about Christians as well. This is not just true about the world. This is an explanation about why the world is just falling apart with no restraint, no guidance, no structure at all, because they have no vision. But also in a Christian's life, if we do not have purpose, meaning, vision, all of those purpose and meaning is all encompassed in that word vision. If that's not there, we will find ourselves wandering aimlessly through life. And we will find ourselves thinking, why does what I do matter? Why am I serving the Lord? Why does it matter that I follow the Scriptures? Why does it matter that I do these certain things that are important? What's the significance of them? If I don't have a purpose, if I don't have vision before me, if I don't have the structure of God's Word and God's calling and God's vision guiding my thinking, I fall apart. As a believer, I fall apart. That doesn't mean necessarily that we stop putting our faith in God or that somehow we fall from the faith. But it does mean that we find ourselves wandering around without any real guidance. And I think that that's important for a Christian to see. Now, not very long ago, just a couple of months ago, I guess it was still last year, so it was, I guess this is the fifth month of the year, so it's a little bit of time. But it was not very long ago that I was really praying and asking God to give me and us understanding about the vision he has for our church body, this specific body of believers, Grace Bible Church. God, why are we a body? Why do we meet together and worship together apart from, you know, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together? Okay, well, that can be done in a lot of different places. Why does this group of people gather together? What is the vision that you have for us, God? I was asking those questions to God, and God brought me to this passage of Scripture I want to share with you today. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not going to be able to share the entire passage of Scripture with you because there's too much. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be going through this passage I'm going to share with you a little bit at a time, as much as God gives us time to go through. And we're going to see what he wanted to share with me that I'm now sharing with you. I have taken this church vision to the elders of our church, and I've said, does this meet with your approval? Is this God-honoring? Is this directed of the Lord? What is your opinion? And they all three unanimously came back to me and said, you have complete approval for this. This is the direction we feel like you should go. There is no resistance at all. And so I am going to be communicating to our church body what I believe God placed upon my heart as the vision for Grace Bible Church. And the direction, the purpose that we have as a body, we will be pursuing together. Those that are part of this body will be pursuing these things. And I hope the Lord will give you an understanding and clarity about how this applies here. It's taken directly from Colossians chapter 1. So turn there with me, please. Colossians chapter 1. To be honest, I don't even remember how I got to this passage of Scripture. Like what happened that brought me here? But I wrote it down, and I've continued to pray about it and chew on it and work on it. And this is where we are. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. And if you would permit me, I would like to ask you to stand. It's just a few verses as we read the Scriptures together. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. And that means suitable or appropriate. It made us meet. Some other passages say justified. Other version. Hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to read to you a paraphrasing of this passage as the vision that I believe God would have for us as a church body. And then we're going to go through it. And as I told you, it's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take a few weeks. I don't know how many. But God gave me a few things to share with you this morning. So we're just going to get started. But I want to read to you the full vision before we begin to study the first part. We seek to be filled with the true knowledge of His will, resting in all spiritual wisdom and understanding granted to us through His Word. We want to walk in a manner that is worthy of the name Jesus Christ, being perfectly pleasing to our Lord. We desire to see good fruit in every good work in which we are blessed to partake. We will increase in deep relationship with our Father in heaven. In all things, we will seek to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This will bring us strength not only to see fruitfulness and impact in our acts of service, but also to endure the trials and challenges that must necessarily come to the children of the kingdom while in this world. In every moment, we will offer unto the Father our gratefulness for the justification, the deliverance, transformation, and redemption which He has granted to us through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. And I'm going to break that down over the next few weeks, but first of all, the first thing that we need to discuss is being filled with true knowledge. We seek to be filled with the true knowledge. First of all, in verse 9, I want you to notice how these things are achieved. Notice what Paul says in verse 9. We do not cease to pray for you. We do not cease to pray for you. These things are achieved. This vision is achieved, is sought after through prayer. Paul says we're not going to quit. It's a continuous thing. We're going to keep on praying for you. We're not going to stop for these things to happen. That is very important. Paul didn't say, I do not cease to preach to you. He didn't say, I do not cease to plan for you to be filled with. He didn't say those things. He says, we do not cease to pray that this would happen for you. That you, the Church of Colossae, who he's talking to, we're continuously praying for you to find these things. And he lists several. This is our prayer for you. And friends, in this church, in this body of believers, we will not see the power of God displayed in our midst. We will not see this vision pursued even, much less achieved, without all kinds of prayer. Without drenching it in prayer. I mean, if you think of a peanut butter sandwich, you're just dumping the peanut butter on the bread and it's just covered. We have to soak ourselves constantly in prayer. Now that doesn't mean that I'm never talking to anyone else, because I'm always talking to Jesus. Prayer is about speaking to Him. It's about listening. Sometimes you listen. Sometimes it's about allowing the presence of the Lord to indwell every part of my day. I don't always have to consciously be saying, Lord Jesus, help so-and-so. Lord Jesus, help so-and-so. Lord Jesus, give us this. Lord Jesus, bless us with that. It's not constantly asking. Sometimes it's just being in the presence of God. That's prayer too. But in the sense of pursuing the vision of our church, we must be soaked in prayer, drenched in it. And that doesn't mean that we have this room full on Wednesday night. I don't care where you are. I care that we are praying. And if we are not, we will not survive. The Bible says that the apostles in the early church, they said, we need to be devoted to the ministry of the word and to prayer. And it says when they were able to focus on the word and on prayer, then the work went boom. That's the Jared paraphrase. It exploded. The church grew exponentially when the apostles devoted themselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer. That needs to be pervasive as a church in our culture. Even more so among our elders than anyone else. And I'm speaking specifically to the two guys in this room who are elders, and our other elder, I'll communicate to him somehow. He couldn't be here today because his wife is hurt. She fell down the stairs. We're going to pray for her later. But as leaders in this body, we have to be devoted to the ministry of the word in our lives and in the lives of those around us, and to prayer more than anything else. That is your ministry. God has called you to. Called me to. Called us to. That is our role to play in the body, is the ministry of the word and to prayer. And without prayer, this vision will not be achieved. It is vitally, vitally important. It's God's work to make us what we should be. We just simply submit to his working through prayer. We submit through prayer. But what do these words mean? The word filled is the Greek word pleroo, and it means to cram. I chuckled to myself when I saw that in Strong's, to cram. I mean, wow, that's funny. To make full, to cause to abound, to fill to the top or the brim. This is no possible way to be more full than you are. That's what this word filled literally means, to cram it full. We do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled, crammed, stuffed with what? With knowledge. The knowledge, that is the Greek word epignosis. And I hope you remember when I talked to you before about epignosis and what it means. But briefly, we need to be reminded. It means full discernment. Some translations I really like translate this one Greek word epignosis as true knowledge. And it comes from two different Greek words. The Greek word epi is an intensifying prefix, which means up or upon, to come upon. And gnosis means knowledge. It's a noun that means knowledge or factual information. So epignosis means, to put it simply, it means extra knowledge, revealed knowledge, true knowledge. This is according to Dr. Zodiades, Dr. Spiros Zodiades, when he was alive, one of the most foremost Greek scholars in the world. His work is considered comprehensive and incredibly profound and deep. And I spoke to one of his editors personally. He was an editor for Dr. Zodiades at the time and was a friend of mine. And we spoke about this word, and he helped me to understand it better. But that's what it means. To put it another way, epignosis is not the kind of knowledge that you get from books or that enters your mind. That's simply gnosis. That's the kind of knowledge any non-Christian can gain from a book. Epignosis is the knowledge that comes only through revelation. The understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. It's the knowledge of the heart. You see, you can put all kinds of information in your mind, but until it becomes part of your heart, it doesn't really bring forth fruit in your life. And so the knowledge of the heart, the things you know in your heart, are who you become. That's what brings forth fruit. It says in the Bible, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When we meditate upon the factual information of our mind, the Lord brings it down into our hearts. That is epignosis. That is the knowledge of God that he reveals to us. That is epignosis. In the scripture, this Greek word is only used of our knowledge. It's never used to describe knowledge that God has. Because God is the highest authority. He can't have anything revealed to him. So epignosis is only something that we have. It's revealed to us by God. So he says, I want you to be crammed, stuffed full of true knowledge. But knowledge of what? Look again at verse 9. To desire that ye might be filled with the true knowledge of His will. Of His will. His will means His desires. What He determines. What He wants. Brothers and sisters, that should be the North Star of the Christian. What does that mean, preacher? Well, way back in the days of sailors and old-fashioned nautical ships that would sail all over the Atlantic Ocean, they even sailed the Pacific, they would have to figure out how to find where they were going. And sometimes, maybe their tools weren't working or maybe they lost them, they were able to navigate using the stars. And they were able to do that because there was one star that would never move in the sky. It always stayed north. And if you could find the North Star, you could figure out where you are and what direction to go. You could figure that out. As long as that star stayed and didn't move, you could figure out where to go. And so, that was a very important star. The North Star. Isn't it called Polaris, Ezekiel? Polaris? That is the guidance that gave those ships the ability to get where they needed to go. And as a Christian, the will of the Lord is the North Star. For us to figure out where we should go, we got to know His will. What does He want? What does He desire for me, for my life? What does He desire for my loved ones around me? If the role of a prophet is to go to someone else and say, God's will is this for you. What do we base that on? We often base it upon the Scriptures. We also can base it sometimes upon spiritual revelation. The epignosis that God imparts to us through His Holy Spirit. To have to be crammed, stocked full of the knowledge of the will of God is a powerful Christian. To know God's guiding light, to know what He wants for my life, for the lives of those around me in every moment, should be something we are desperate to attain. We need to be desperate as believers to know the will of God. And as a church, as a body of believers, we need to know God's desires. We can't jump out ahead of what, oh, I think God wants us to do this. And then God is going, hey, wait a second, you jumped way ahead of me, and I was not in what you were trying to do. A good thing, maybe it was. Maybe it could be a good thing, but we have to be guided by the Lord. As Moses said to God, when God said, you know, you just take the children of Israel to Israel, and I'm not going to go with you because I'm going to consume you all. Moses said, look, we'll take the chance. He said, we're not going unless you go. Unless you go with us, we're not going. And as a body of believers, we have to be committed to the will of God. And until we know the will of God, we're not moving. Until we know what He desires. Because without that, friends, we don't know what island we're headed to. We have no vision. We have no guidance if we don't know the will of God. That has got to be imperative and important. More than important, it's got to be vital, preeminently important, that we know the will of God. In. He says that word in. Filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's talk about that. The Greek word for in, and we're going to get to this next time because it shows up again later in this passage. This Greek word is en, if you pronounce it en. I mean, it sounds like the same word, really, doesn't it? It means a position of rest. It means a fixed position in place, time, or state, a relation of rest. There's another Greek word that's translated in, and that means to go into. It's a word of movement. You're going into something. This one is a movement that's stopped. It's stop. It's a resting within something. So he says, resting in, I want you to be filled with the true knowledge of his will, resting in wisdom and spiritual understanding. This Greek word for wisdom is the word Sophia. Now you know what the name Sophia means. It means wise one, wisdom. But what does wisdom mean? You look up the Greek word and it just says wise, wisdom. I mean, okay, well, let's get a little more understanding there. Webster says this, wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge. The choice of laudable, or that means praiseworthy, ends. The choice of praiseworthy ends and of the best means to accomplish them. The choice of praiseworthy ends and the best means to accomplish them. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is to see our lives from God's point of view and to make God-honoring choices that align with his word. That is true wisdom. It's not just knowledge. It is seeing things as he sees them. It's having an eternal perspective on things. And when we rest in his wisdom, then we know how to accomplish his will. We're filled with the true knowledge of his will, and then we are filled resting in wisdom and what else? Spiritual understanding. That word for spiritual literally means, in Greek, non-carnal, supernatural. Supernatural understanding. That understanding Greek word is sunesis, and it means putting, running, or flowing together. Putting it together, running together, or flowing together. I think of three different streams of water, or several streams of water coming together to form one giant river. All these different little things out here that, you know, are small little creeks, small little water things falling into a river. Tributaries. Thank you very much. See, I need to work on my vocabulary. Tributaries. Tributaries that flow into that big river. That's what understanding is. That's what that Greek word means. And so when he says, be filled with the true knowledge of his will, resting in wisdom and spiritual understanding, it means that we are able to see the spiritual world as God sees it. And those spiritual things kind of flow together. And we begin to understand the whole of the spiritual realm, seeing things as God sees them. And we begin to see that little comment over there, and this little circumstance right here, and this word of Scripture right here, and this sermon I heard the other day here, and this conversation I was able to have, and begin to see how they fit together, how they move together to accomplish the will of God. In the spiritual realm, understanding what's happening in the spiritual realm. Guys, that is the life, the life that our Father wants us to live. He wants us to walk in that way. To be filled, crammed full with the true knowledge that only he gives. We can't get it ourselves. I can't study spiritualism. I can't, you know, study world religions in order to get spiritual understanding, in order to get full understanding. It's only epignosis. It's only something he gives to us. I get true knowledge of his will. That guiding principle, that north star of what does God want? What has he determined? Resting in his viewpoint and his understanding of the spiritual world. That is the way we need to think. We need to live this way. When we go to the baseball diamond, we need to realize that there's spiritual things happening. When I go to the grocery store, when I sew a dress for my daughter, when I go out to work, when I personally sell chicken sandwiches, Dad meets with governors. Whatever you're doing to make a living. Jim delivers parts. Auto parts. Ronnie, you cut grass and do landscaping. And plenty of other things. Retirement's looking good on you, man. I mean, you're busy in retirement. Whatever it is we do, sewing rings, right? Sewing rings on curtains. Whatever we're doing, we have to realize there is a spiritual undercurrent. Behind every person I look at, there's a spiritual world affecting them. Behind every relationship I have is a will that God has for the spiritual world, which is really more concrete and more significant than any physical thing we see. The real true significance are the eternal things of God, and I have to start looking with His eyes at my world. I have to look with His eyes at this building, at this property, at those neighbors out there, at the opportunities He's given to me, the place that He's planted me. What is His will for me here? And what are the spiritual realities He wants me to understand and to influence? That is so incredibly powerful that I can step into the spiritual world and have an impact. And I touch this person here and it has a rippling effect through the spiritual realm that I sometimes don't perceive. That's all of us, friends. That's all of us. And it means no matter where you live, no matter where you work, no matter where you worship, God has a will for that and a means to accomplish it. And finding the means to accomplish His will is about wisdom and spiritual understanding. Are you following me? If I'm totally in the weeds here, give me an amen. Hey, never so glad not to hear amens. If you're following me, say hallelujah. This is the truth. This is God's holy word. And while, yes, this would apply to any believer, I believe that God is trying to tell Grace Bible Church this morning, May the 5th, 2019, that this has to be a pervasive part of our church vision. I'm going to read this part again to you. We seek to be filled with the true knowledge of His will, resting in all spiritual wisdom and understanding granted to us through His Word. Because you see, spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding comes through His Word. Again, we're back again to the ministry of the Word and prayer. Those two things bring about within us an understanding of the spiritual, an ability to put things together and to have an insight into what God is doing in the world. Comes through His Word. Comes through time with Him in prayer. We have to look at life from God's point of view. And we can't get His perspective if we're not spending time in the Bible. Now friends, look. As believers, as I know all of us, have a tendency to really, I don't know, maybe judge ourselves too harshly if we're not spending an hour every day in the Bible. I mean, you know, oh, I'm just not spending the time I should in the Bible. There's two truths about that. One is, God's grace is bigger than that. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to spend at least 5 minutes reading the Word every day or you're not a Christian. We put burdens upon ourselves I don't think God intended us to carry. Now, spending 5 minutes a day at least is a good standard to have, but I'm trying to help free us from the bondage of religion, the bondage of do this, do that, don't. We need to walk in the freedom of Christ, in the grace of the Lord. So there's that. God, I believe, is more interested in our quality of our time with Him than our quantity. But there is this too. Sometimes it takes quantity to get to quality. So while at the same time we should walk in the grace and freedom of Christ, sometimes we need to hunker down and we need to sacrifice that hour we spend with the TV and instead spend an hour with the Bible. Sometimes it takes some quantity time to find the quality we're looking for, the quality time that we need. So it's two different things there that we need to realize. We can't let ourselves be caught up in the bondage of thinking that God is looking down on us if I miss my Bible today. Well, maybe you were witnessing instead. You know, maybe you were teaching your children about Christ instead. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of different things we do to glorify Him, but at the same time, we have to realize that the Word of God needs to be our North Star, because that's where He is. That's where epignosis happens, is the Word of God and prayer. And as a church body, if the elders are not in the ministry of the Word and praying, we will not receive epignosis about the will of God and the wisdom and spiritual understanding to pursue those things. But as a body of believers, we need to be resting in the Word of God and prayer so that we can gain, we can put together the pieces of what God is doing in and amongst us. Shirley gets a sense of what Nancy needs to hear. Nancy communicates to Marianne. Marianne talks to Tom. Tom says something to Anna. We start communicating together. Peggy tells the preacher how much he needs to change his preaching. No, I'm just kidding. You've never said a single thing about that to me. Jim has. The point is that all of those pieces begin to play a part together, and we begin to be the body that God means for us to be as we pursue His will together. I believe that God is doing some of those things right now in this body. And I'll just not talk about them publicly necessarily, but you can talk to me later. But God is working through things that people are telling me, things that He's showing me in the Word, and then people tell me things, and then we work this out, and then I feel like God's will is being revealed in some way. Now, I could be totally off my keister. I might be off my rocker somewhere, and God's going to go, "Well, you sure missed it there, bub." But I can only do what I can do. I can only pursue what God says pursue. I can only see what I see of God's will. But I'm telling you, the more time we spend in the Word, the more time we spend seeking God's face in prayer, the more clear the doing becomes. You see, what we're talking about here is starting with being and moving to doing. So many Christians get that backwards. They start doing in order to find being. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to be still and know that He is God. We need to rest within the presence of God. That's what waiting on God is. It's being in Him. We need to think about the being a Christian before we talk about doing Christ's work. So many Christians, they jump into doing. They're serving. They're working hard. They're doing things for the Lord. And they leave the being behind, and they eventually burn themselves out because they're trying so hard to do the work of God that they forgot to be in His presence and gain strength and wholeness and life from Him. We have to gain our spiritual strength, our life, our wisdom, our health spiritually from being in His presence and from seeing His face. Knowing Him. And from that, out of that grows the fruit of doing good works in the kingdom. And that is the next part we're going to start talking about. We're going to start talking about walking in a way that is pleasing to Him, being worthy of the name Christian. To walk in a way that brings forth fruit in the good works that we do. That is the next part of our vision. But today, this part of our vision is about being. Being willing to rest in the wisdom and spiritual understanding that he gives to me that will reveal to me his desires, his wants, his wishes, his will for this body, for my place in this body. All of you have a place. Dad, what do you say all the time? There are no little places or little people in God's kingdom. Just because you sit in the pews doesn't mean you're any less important than the guy in the pulpit. The pews are not less important than the pulpit. The pews are only a different place and a different role to play. Don't forget that. We have a place in this body to play, or a role to play in this body. And you will not achieve the true potential that God intends for you to play in this body without this. Without revealed knowledge of his will. His will for your actions. Maybe you need to go and confront a brother or sister about something they're doing wrong. Maybe you need to receive correction. And you need to see that that's God's will. Maybe there's some work that he wants for you to do in this community. Something he wants for you to do. You have to be able to have understanding of his will. True knowledge of what he wants. What does he want? This is not about what makes me feel good or what drives me or what I feel like I ought to be doing. This is what God says you ought to be doing. Sometimes our feelings will deceive us. We need to listen to the Spirit of God. And we can recognize his voice a lot better when we're here in the Word. That's how we know it's him and not somebody else. Not me and not the devil. We can discern his voice through the Word. And friends, I know that sometimes I can get things wrong. Sometimes I can totally miss it. But I believe with every part of my soul that God revealed this passage to me as a vision for our church. And with the confirmation of the elders, I am stepping forward, and we are going to study this passage in depth, carefully, and seek to apply it in our personal lives and as a body of believers. I believe this is the direction God wants us to go. So today, what's my challenge to you? Sacrifice something to spend more time in the Word so that you can gain, so that you can be filled with the epignosis of the will of God. And rest in, dwell within the wisdom and the understanding that God gives to us. Rest in that. And friends, if any of you are praying people, you need to take up Paul's mantle for this body and pray that these things would be accomplished. Because I'm telling you, not a single one of us will ever walk in this way with true knowledge of the will of God in spiritual wisdom and understanding unless we are in prayer. And if you are able to pray for these things, I implore you to be on your knees as much as you possibly can. Because I'm telling you, the work that God wants to accomplish in this community. God put this church here on purpose. And the work that he wants to do here will not be accomplished unless we are all praying together. And if you think that, oh, I can't get out there and I can't, well, things that have been said to me, you know, I can't change the sign, I can't vacuum the floor, I can't fix this thing or that thing. I just can't be as involved as I want to be. Pray. That's the most important thing we can do. I'm too busy with my life to be as involved in the church as I want to, in the ministry of the church. I live too far away. Pray. Prayer is the most important thing you can do for the success of this ministry. We will starve to death. We will starve to death without the word and will suffocate without prayer. So give us the breath of the heavens. Give us the breath of God upon us by praying. Sometimes I think the most effective thing that I can do as a minister in this body of Christ is to come and hit my knees all day long. Because I feel like that's such a weakness of mine. And we need it so much that I should just put all of the Bible, all the other things that I try to get done throughout my day, and just pray all day long. And just wait for God to do something. Because that is the most powerful thing that we could possibly do for one another, is to pray for each other. And your role, if your only role is prayer warrior, if that's the only thing, either physically, time-wise, whatever, life-wise, God is allowing for you to do, you are vital to the success of this ministry, to the success of this body of Christ. You are vital. That's why Paul says, we do not cease to pray that you would be filled with the true knowledge of his will, resting in wisdom and spiritual understanding. That was Paul's constant prayer for the church of Colossae. And brothers and sisters, that needs to be our constant prayer for Grace Bible Church. That needs to be the heart cry that we have together. So if you would, please bow your heads and pray with me now. Father in heaven, we are grateful for the power of your word and the truth that we have heard today. Thank you for speaking to us, and I pray that you'd continue to speak these truths in our hearts. Lord, as we go throughout the next weeks, I pray that you'd continue to bring revelation and understanding to us. Bring to our minds, bring to our hearts true knowledge of the truth. I pray that you would please help us to put into practice these truths today, that we would be willing to follow you wherever you lead. And that this vision would resonate in our hearts and in our body, and that we would pursue it together. That we would pursue this kind of living, this kind of church life, earnestly, enthusiastically together. Please continue to bring to us understanding of the truth. Lord, please forgive us where we have neglected your word and thought that prayer was just a last resort. Or that it's just the bottom of the barrel. Help us to remember that it isn't. Please teach us to pray. As your disciples came to you and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And you shared with them the power of prayer. You taught them the pattern. Lord, please teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. Just to get on our knees and start praying. I pray that you would please impart the anointing of your Spirit to this body, because, Lord, we can't do it without you. We need you. Please give us the grace we need to walk in this way, to be worthy of you. We trust in you. We are grateful for you. And we pray that you would reveal to us continuously your perspective upon the world, so that we might make choices that are in line with your will. We give you glory. We are thankful. We praise your name, for you have redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, Lord Jesus Christ, you are our wisdom. You are our understanding. You are the will of God. You are the true knowledge. You are the revelation of the Father to us. You are it. Help us to see you. To see you for who you really are. Please reveal yourself in a deeper and more wonderful way to us. But we thank you for the glimmer we've gained of you today. We praise your name and we glorify you in every way our soul might do so. And it's in your precious and wonderful name, the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. In that name we do pray.